Hey everyone, I'm Kari.
Hello everyone, I am Brie.
And this is CSI Talk. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome back. Another week, another episode of CSI Talk. Hi, before we get into today's episode, we just want to let everyone know that this is a safe space for you. This is always going to be a safe space for you, regardless of everything that is going on in the world right now. If you've had a bad day, we're here for you. And we are really sorry that last week we were not able to put out a new episode because weather conditions were not the best.
And I couldn't talk.
Yeah. It was raining a lot, and it was Good Friday. Usually it rains a lot during Good Friday. And happy Easter to everyone who celebrates Easter. Happy late Easter, actually, right? To everyone who celebrates Easter. Yeah, so last week's episode, it is called It Was Automation. And there was a huge Easter egg for all of us who are huge Sherlock Holmes fans. I mean, there were quite a few, actually. Also, someone who gets started in the episode was Rigsby from The Mentalist. If you guys ever watched The Mentalist, he was the owner of the factory. There is a lot of people worried about how the renewal of season Vega is not coming, and well, I think we're gonna follow the same manner that we followed with season 1 and season 2. The renewal is not gonna come until the season is over. And we got a very late season premiered, so I don't think we're gonna get a series renewal date until the show is over. I'm saying this because I've seen it. A lot of people being afraid that the show is not doing good. The show is doing good, guys. Okay, this is a crime show, so to grab the attention of the audience, and it's not an easy thing to do. And also throughout this month, I've met people that did not watch the original iteration of the show, as in CSI Crime Scene Investigation, and only started to watch CSI Vegas. They didn't know the legacy characters as well, as in Grissom, Sarah, and Greg, and Catherine. They liked them in CSI Vegas and absolutely loved the show, which is what the writers and the producers of the show wanted to do with this new iteration, to bring in a new public. This episode, I'm sorry, I just gotta say it because I feel like it has Jason Tracy written all around it, okay? I'm saying this because I've watched Elementary through and through, okay? I'm a Sherlock girl, okay? All of the Arthur Conan Doyle books, okay? I've read everything that he written, and I've seen all of the seasons of Elementary. Elementary is a show based on the works of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and it was a show that it was created by Jason Tracy, and it was aired by CBS. And CSI obviously has done a great job honoring Sherlock Holmes. I mean, all of the detective shows have to mention Sherlock Holmes at least once or twice, right? Because Sherlock Holmes has left a great impact on the criminology world as a whole. But it's just impossible not to watch this episode and not to think about Sherlock Holmes. At least, that's what I see. Because, the very first few seconds in a particular, there's a particular frame that I saw, and I was like, yeah. So the episode begins, and we are in a factory, and we see Robert, you know, and I was like, is that Iron Man? But Tony Stark would never let so many wires to be shown like that, so no, Tony Stark would never. And there's a song playing. The first line is It Was Automation, which is the name of the episode. And there's a small robot walking around that looks like a dog. It's a small robot and it has four legs and it's black. And I was immediately like, what in the Hound of Baskerville is this? Because if you've seen Elementary, you probably know which episode I'm gonna reference now. And I'm gonna do the reference right now because we're in the beginning of the episode and there's gonna be another reference to Sherlock Holmes in the middle of the episode. But I have to point this out now. Why? Because in Elementary, there is an episode in season 4 called Hounded, and it adapts a story called The Hounds of Baskerville, and it's in season 4, episode 16. And the summary of the episode is, at the urging of Moreland's wealthy associates, Moreland's as in Sherlock said, Henry Baskerville, Holmes and Watson look into the death of his brother and discover that a witness saw the man chased to his death by a large, glowing animal, too fantastic to be real. Sherlock considers intervening when the trauma from the bombing at the morgue negatively impacts Emmy Hawke's work. Emmy Hall's work, not Hawks. Hawks is from CSI New York. But anyways, the reason why I thought about this episode is because in Hounded, we see that the actual robot chasing this Baskerville guy is also a robot. Much larger, but for the time, I mean, it was 2016. I mean, like 8 years ago, so yeah. And the actual plot summary of The Hounds of Baskerville is, Brie, can you tell us the summary of Hounds of Baskerville?
The Hound of Baskerville is the tale of an ancient curse suddenly given a terrifying modern application. The great towers of Baskerville Hall and the wild open country of Dartmoor hold many secrets for Holmes and Watson to unravel. The detective is contemptuous of supernatural manifestations, but the reader will remain perpetually haunted by the Hound of the North.
This story is set on the book The Final Problem, which is right before Sherlock dies. Quote unquote dies, because he doesn't really die. It's right before the fall of Reichenbach. Well, this story, The Hounds of Baskerville, happens right before Sherlock fights Moriarty at Reichenbach, which is an actual place. Right, and then they also adapted this story on Sherlock Holmes 2 and the movie with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law, which is a great movie, by the way. Still expecting Sherlock Holmes 3. But anyway, yeah, so this is it. And I thought about that when I saw this small robot, and I was like, yeah, so we're definitely going to see some Sherlock references. And it's also impossible not to, because Sherlock did in fact impact the world of criminology. The only episode that I can remember reference Sherlock directly is that episode in which Greg takes his final proficiency test. We see a bunch of robots working in this factory, and it's quite scary, to be honest, because this is literally what happens today. We see the victim walking around making sure that the robots are working perfectly. I must say that I was quite scared to talk to my Alexa after watching this episode, you know, because I talked to her quite a lot. Well, anyways, so the victim, Robert, he is doing the rounds, and the song is talking about how this is turning into a very automized world, and the humans have to look after it, when suddenly the power goes out at the factory, and the victim is trying to look for the source, and he sees I'm just gonna reference to that small robot as Baskerville. He sees the Baskerville robot. It's not actually the name of the robot, but I'm just gonna reference this Baskerville robot. He sees the Baskerville robot walking, and he is scared, but he's still trying to find the source. The power rages, and when he gets attacked, Next morning, Folsom walks into the lab and he asks for the person to hold the elevator. And it's actually Serena inside the elevator, and the tension, like, you can cut the tension with a knife. And they are both like trying, like, oh, there's no reason why we can't, you know, talk. You know, we can still talk. It's still normal. I mean, we just dated. I was working for IAB, but it's okay. When they walk out of the elevator to walk into the lab, and she's like, it's not like I am still reporting on you guys to IAB. And overhearing this conversation is Penny, who is with Jack. And Jack is telling her, the venue is great, because if you don't remember, they're engaged. The venue is great. We should just start looking at dates, because I just want to put it on my bullet journal. Jack journals. That is a huge green flag for me. That's such a huge green flag. Like, how many guys journal?
How many people journal?
Oh, I've been trying to. I don't journal as frequently as I should, but I'm trying to do it. I'm trying to do it.
It does feel good, though. But during the time, my emotions are mostly in check.
Well, mine are mostly not in check, so...
Yeah, I know. But that...
Well, I tried. But anyways, he's trying to talk to Penny, and Penny's head is just a million miles away. And Penny just turns to Jack, and she's like, did you hear that? Did you hear what I just did? He's like, what? Because he's trying to talk about the wedding, and Penny is she just heard of some tea, you know, and she's like, Chavez was reporting on us to the IAB, you know, as in she was in the past, like, she's not anymore, she was in the past, I gotta go. And Jack is like, that is bad, like, yes, my dude, that is bad. And Penny's like, I gotta go, and she stands up to leave, and then she comes back, kisses him on the face, and then goes. And I think they have a healthy relationship, but it's still, like, if he does something that hurts my girl, it's on site. I'm not even joking. It's on site, Jack. Anyways, we go to the crime scene. Serena and Josh arrive together. I don't know if they carpool together, but anyways. Ellie tells them that they have no security footage because there was a power outage. And according to her, they call this place a dark factory because machines run all night. And they set the place for human workers in the morning, which means that the work is divided between machines and humans. The robots were building robots. And it just reminds me how, because I've read some news about it, that there have been quite a few accidents involving sad robots with human workers. Some of them almost, like, the humans almost losing their lives or almost losing limbs. The robots literally going rogue because the AI doesn't understand the value of human life. So I think this episode is actually touching up on this question. So Ellie tells them that only one man was taking care of all the robots and was the victim. She says that there were contusions on the head. Most likely the cause of death is bone force trauma to the head. And she asks Folsom, what does he make of some blood spatter? But the thing is, the blood spatter is really small. It's really small. It's like 1 millimeter in diameter, which can only be caused by something like a bullet, because it is fast and small. But they don't see a gun anywhere in this factory. What could have caused that blood spatter, right? Max is also on the scene, and while they are trying to brainstorm what could have happened, Sabrina, the assistant to the owner of the factory, said that, oh, the people that found the body are here if you want to talk to them. And Serena's like, yeah, of course we do. So she goes and talks to them while Max is with Josh. And, like, everybody's on the scene in this one, except for Penny. Penny's back in the lab. We haven't seen Penny. Penny's back in the lab. And also Chris. Chris, we haven't seen Chris in, like, 2 episodes at this point, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So there's a lot. They find a lot of blood all around the crime scene. They don't know how the blood got there. And Max is just following the blood Drops. Did you catch that reference? Blood drops. Well, anyways, they, Max and Allie, they find their way into a room with a robot. And the robot's arm has blood all over it. I mean, Max is quite surprised at that. Probably a bit, just a bit scared. But can you imagine what it would be Grissom's reaction if he saw a robot's arm with blood on it? He'd probably be like, can we even charge a robot?
No, he probably would make a joke. Like, I guess he was not sorry to Dave. Sorry, oh, Dave. I can't do that, Dave.
Oh, God.
I've never seen the movie.
I don't think so. Well, anyways, Jack takes the body back to the morgue. And Catherine is like, to Max, do you really think the robot could have done it? She's probably thinking about, like, legally, how they're even going to charge the robot. Like, how do we charge a robot for murder? And Serena is trying to question two workers at the factory, like, can this happen? Can you program the AI to hurt someone else? And they are really telling her, no, this cannot happen because we programmed not to. Have these people never watched Age of Ultron? Ultron was an AI created by the world's
A different type of sci-fi.
Yeah, I know, but it doesn't mean that it cannot happen because Ultron took one look at our internet and he's like, yep, humans gotta go. From what we've seen from news of robots harming humans, I'm sure they can. I mean, AI can definitely think, they can definitely think by themselves at this point. But the worker says that no, they cannot do that. And one of the workers, Cliff, I think that's his name, says that, no, but Ocho, because he was the eighth robot. And then Serena says, would it surprise you to know that I speak Spanish? And I was like, yes, Queen, shut him up. Yes, we love to see it. I love it when Serena specifically shut man up. I love that. Like, she ate and left no crumbs. I love when she did. I love it. Well, anyways, Cliff says that he ran diagnosis on Ocho and there was nothing wrong with it. And, well, thinking about it, later in the episode, he tells Max that Eve, the other female worker, was the one that ran diagnosis on Ocho, not him. He contradicts himself. Right. And they get really mad when the CSIs have to take the robot back to the lab with them. They literally break into the crime scene. They break into the crime scene. They go behind the tape and they say that the CSIs cannot take the robot because it's property. Yeah, it's proprietary technology. And Catherine is like, at the very least, this is a murder weapon. And Max says that even if the robot was told what to do, or if somebody else, or if the robot acts rogue, we need to take this back to the lab. This is evidence and it's coming. And then she turns back and she sees, like, this small little robot. And she's like, Bo, this robot is coming after my blood spatter. And he runs after the robot back to the morgue. We see Jack talking to his sister, Sonia, and she's actually healing from a Thallium poisoning that she suffered on season 2. And he tells his sister that he's actually terrified because the possible killer is with him. It's actually quite funny to think about it.
Because there's at least some 11 people in the morgue.
Yeah,
and then, so I guess one body's not as important as other bodies.
Yo, gruesome, everyone. Well, anyways, he tells Allie and Max when they get to the morgue that his sister is doing better and she's coming home next week, and she is fighting with the physical therapist because they don't know the human body as well as she does, which is kind of true because she does that for a living. Mm-hmm. She does open the bodies for a living, right? But I wouldn't find with a physical therapist. I don't find it fine. Well, anyways, he tells that, in fact, Allie was right. In fact, the cause of death was blunt force trauma to the head, to the neck, and to the chest. But he says that the manner of death was not natural. The manner of death, he cannot define it because it was not natural, it was not suicide. It means that it could have been either an accident or homicide. But the thing is, homicide, you know, the H-O-M-I comes from man, which is
Homo sapien,
which means that a crime committed by human. But when he did the x-rays of the body, and he realized that the bomb first trauma to the head was a match to Ocho's hands. So he is probably going to put it on the report that it was a robocide, which kind of makes sense, you know? But in the end, we will realize that it was actually, in fact, homicide. Anyways, Ellie looks at the body and she finds a piece of glass embedded in the body. And they're not going to know from where the piece of glass comes from until the very end of the episode. Meanwhile, Serena and Catherine are talking to Robert's son, and he says that nobody had anything against his father, and his father was not an engineer. That is an important information, because he reveals to Serena and Catherine that he was bringing work home with him, and there was some sort of patent issue going on in the factory. He really doesn't know what is going on. As far as he knows, nobody had any issues except for the patent thing going on. Max decides that she's gonna try and recreate the wound pattern with Folsom, which we kind of predicted on the episode like 2 weeks ago, that Folsom's abilities were gonna be used, and Max was gonna have to give him a lot more freedom in the lab to try and recreate the wounds caused by this robot. Back to the lab, Ellie and Penny are trying to determine where the glass in the crime scene comes from. Again, we're not gonna find out where the glass is coming from until the very end of the episode. And then Penny's just like me for real, because when she finds out about the tea, she ran to Ellie to tell her. She's like, Ellie, you're never gonna believe this. Serena was telling on us to IAB. Then they probably got called to the scene. And then Penny said, like, you barely react when I told you what Serena was doing. And Ellie says, would it hurt you if I said that I already knew? So basically,
see? Yeah. Ellie kept the secret, except for talking to Max, but Max is her superior.
Yeah. So, and then I guess Penny needed to tell someone, because Penny and Ellie seems to be really close and they probably best friends. And then Penny told Bo. I love that. Penny told Bo. And I think she actually told three people, right? She told Ellie, Bo, and Jack. And the only person that actually understood her side and tried to make her feel better about stuff was about this situation in particular was Jack, while Ellie and Bo were like, you know what, she was doing her job and all that. And Jack is like, you're not crazy, you know, you have all the right in the world to be upset because you thought
she's crazy, but she's his kind of crazy.
Yeah, but he told her, so like, he probably told her, like, you have all the right in the world to be this upset because you thought Serena was a friend and all that. He kind of, like, it seems to me that he validated her feelings, while Ellie and Bo were like, maybe you should put this aside because she works with us. I mean, at least that's just my interpretation. And I love, like, in the scene with Ellie, Penny's like, this is gonna be the one, when they're trying to do, like, the density test, and it's not the one. Like, the next one is gonna be the one, and it's not the one. I love that. Serena takes Catherine back to the factory to try and talk to the owner of the factory, and they are really mad at Sabrina because Sabrina will not take them to talk to Mr. Thomas, which famously is played by the same actor that played Rigsby in The Mentalist, and I think he's British. I'm not sure if he is, but he seems to be British. I didn't know that because he does such a great American accent in the Mentalist. But anyways, Catherine is really mad at Sabrina, and she's like, oh, you don't have Mr. Thomas, you don't have Viv. Oh, you know what, you of course you cannot have a person, you can have chlamydia. You know, Catherine, where this is coming from? You're really mad at these people, aren't you? Like, we love that. You know what is that? You know what is that? That is a mother. Anyway, apparently there is no security in this factory because Catherine and Serena managed to find their way to Eve and Mr. Thomas, which is great, by the way. We love that. And I kind of, I mean, Catherine completely understood how Serena had to start her career in the CSI as an undercover agent. And Serena kind of tells her that, oh, I love all of my CSIs, but I prefer to do this kind of thing with you. So I'm guessing she just told Catherine that Catherine was her favorite CSI. Okay, Catherine is Serena's favorite CSI. I guess at some point it was probably Josh, but right now it's Catherine. And you know what? I respect that. I respect that because Catherine is also my favorite, but it's also Bo, also Penny, also, you know what, everyone.
I was about to say, honey, is how you talk about them all.
I love all my children equally. I just happen to love a few of them more, like my girl Penny. By the way, make Penny a series regular, okay? We love her. Make Bo a series, while we're at it, make Bo a series regular as well. Yeah, that's what I was going to say, yeah. They find out that the robot can actually kill someone because Eve was demonstrating to Mr. Thomas how it could have been done. Like, girl, this is not the time or the place for that to happen, you know. Back in the reconstruction room, Max tells Josh that Josh is doing and overdoing to try and get Max's trust back, and he specifically tells her, I know what I did, and I know that I lost, that we lost a lot, that you lost your trust in me, but I'm gonna do everything it takes to get it back. And then Max says, you saved Ellie's life last week, that ought to count for something. And then Ellie shows up to help them. She was originally not supposed to help them, but she got stuck with Penny on that glass shards thing, so she left Penny with Bo to try and find out where the glass is coming from to help them in the reconstruction room, because I mean, she and Josh do work well together. Ransom, they start to hit a doll to see if their strength is enough to kill the victim based on what they have with the body. And it's not it. Every time Ellie and Josh try to do it, it doesn't happen. You know what? This reminded me of that one episode in CSI Crime Scene Investigation, which we have four cases going on at the same time. And in the last...
4x4.
No, it's not it. The one when we have four cases going on, the first case is Catherine, American Beauty, and then, like, you know, we have Warwick and Greg working with one, the woman loses her brain, and then we have Nick. I know that the last case is Chainsaw, Las Vegas Chainsaw Massacre, and Grissom and Sarah, they are working together, and they have to get the chainsaw and try to match the blood spatter with the paint, you know. It kind of reminded me of that because they are using paint and all that. But Ransom and Max, they find out that everything that they are doing is not a match to the blood drops. According to Max, there's no way a person could punch hard enough to kill someone and left a head trauma that big. I mean, there was blood traumas in the head, in the chest, and the neck, right? So I'm guessing that they are trying to look for what caused the trauma in the chest and the neck, because they know what caused the trauma on the head. So, yeah. Oh, that's it. Not me realizing what they were doing right now. Josh and Max, they want to turn the robot on because they want to see if the robot itself can punch a person on the neck and the chest to cause the blood drops that they are looking for. And they're actually going to need someone to turn the robot on because there's no way Josh can open that thing up. Back in the fracture, Serena and Catherine are questioning Eve about what happened, because she did just demonstrate to Mr. Thomas, the owner of everything, how we could teach a robot how to kill a human. And Serena ended up striking a deal with Mr. Thomas, prove in a court of law that the robot was the one that killed Robert. It means that his theory about AI being something really dangerous, you know, he would be proven right, right? Even though he was the one that built the stuff, right? So he ended up landing them, quote unquote, robot guy. and it's Cliff. Serena gets to the lab, and she goes where Bo and Penny were working, and they were trying to, if you're wondering what they were doing, they were testing refraction of light on the glass, and the glass charge. You could do something similar with a flashlight, or a laser, or even the sunlight. But in this case, I mean, if you tried it with a sunlight, you would probably get rainbow, which would be really pretty. But in this case, they were trying to see the refraction of light to see which type of glass they were dealing with based on the light waves.
Also, not the density, because I did that in school.
Yeah.
We had things like that, and we had a cylinder filled with some liquid and put it inside that liquid.
Yeah, I've had that too. I've had a physics lab. I never liked the physics lab because it was not as funny as the chemistry lab, but I've never liked either.
What? Neither were funny.
No, and none of them were funny. I mean, my chemistry teacher was really funny, but the others were not. Well, anyway, Cliff gets to CSI, and she starts to help them, specifically Josh, Max, and Allie, on to dismantle the robot. And he does drop an information. He says that every worker has their own pieces to dismantle the robot, because Josh tells him that he didn't even know where to begin, because his tools will not even work. Bo was there to see how everything would work. Anyways, we see that Ocho could have captured everything, so he gives Allie the motherboard, because apparently Ocho has microphone and camera on his body. So Cliff is trying to help the CSIs. He opens a program board on his weapon, and Josh tells him what he wants the robot to do. They want the robot to punch the doll, but they don't know what kind of, like, how much strength would it take. So he is writing the commands on the computer, and it's not working. It's just simply not working. And then Max drops the line of the episode, if you ask me. It's certainly not moving at the speed of a Folsom. Iconic line. And I know the fan fictions are gonna eat it up. If you're part of Ransom Nation like me, you know at this point, Josh is moving at the speed of a Grissom. Right now, he's moving at the speed of a Grissom, if you get what I mean. But yeah, fan fiction is gonna eat this up. They're gonna eat this up, you know, speed of a Folsom. Well, Cliff does try to, you know, say, oh, I'm only here to help. Robert was a good man, and you guys are used to talk about death, and I'm not, because I'm trying to help my friends and all that. But he does says that Ocho has a predictive control, and he says that the learning AI inside the robot will get the command that the person wants the robot to do it, and will do it as it wants. So it's not like you ask Siri, like, what is the weather going to be like today? And Siri is going to answer. Or if you're going to ask Alexa, like, play me the, like play Midnight by Taylor Swift. It's not like that. Like, what he's saying is that if I tell Ocho to punch someone, the AI is gonna figure it out how to do it. It's kind of like a learned behavior. Like, you teach a kid how to write, but the kid is not gonna immediately learn how to write with, say, right hand. The kid might learn how to write with the left hand, you know, or with the right hand. It really depends on how the kid will be more comfortable with, and that is kind of like how the AI works, at least in this episode. So, and Allie is not there at this moment. It's just Josh and Max, and Max questions if the robot is actually a thinking machine. And Cliff says, maybe you could consider it. Yeah, it's a thinking machine. And Max is like, this robot looks like the Terminator now. And Cliff says, yeah, if he could, theoretically, yeah, he could go rogue, you know. So yeah, you know, he could go full Ultron, if you get my reference. Still one of the favorite movies. But Josh realizes that even if they realized that's what happened. They couldn't prove it empirically. And if you don't know what the meaning is empirically, it means that they couldn't prove it in the reconstruction room. If they couldn't prove it in the reconstruction room and write about it and document it and prove it in a court of law, that's what happened. It means that a killer could walk away. So back in the lab, Ellie, Penny, and Bo, they're trying to see what happened, you know, when Robert was killed. So Penny connects the motherboard to their computers, and Penny's like, oh, we have video and have timestamps right before the victim's death. And she presses enter, and then we see exactly what we saw in the beginning of the episode. All the screens go blank as if there's some sort of anomaly, and then we catch a glimpse of Catherine talking to another two lab techs. Then lights explodes and everything explodes, and then Bo immediately reaches for both Penny and Ellie and tells them to get down. I love how that happened and his dead protective side just came out. He's like, get down, protect yourselves. Everybody panics. They don't know what happened. And Catherine's like, what? And Bo is like, Ellie, get your hands off that. Because Ellie was trying to unplug the computer and she ended up kind of burning her hand. And Bo is like, Ellie, stop doing that. Ellie, stop. I feel like that's how Bo is with his daughters when something goes wrong and they like doing something that they shouldn't, and he's just, you know, super worried about them. And he's like, stop doing that. What are you doing? You're gonna burn your hand or something. And it would be so funny if by the end of this sequence, when they're wondering what happened, Penny would be like, it wasn't me. It would be a very comedic, like, it would be so funny, but she didn't do it. But it would be really funny if she said, it wasn't me, after all of this explosion happens in the lab. It would be really funny, but she didn't. But it would be really funny. They don't know what happened back in the reconstruction room. Josh does what every person should do. He goes and unplugs everything. Max goes to Ocho and there's like this ring on the camera, around the camera. And Max is just so 110% done with that robot at this point. She probably went upstairs and told Josh to keep an eye on the robot. She's like, keep an eye on this Terminator. I have to assess everything upstairs. So she goes upstairs and she's gonna put order in the house, you know. And she tells a lab tech that they're gonna run diagnosis on the evidence after the power's back on. And another lab tech says that there is evidence in the fridge and they're probably gonna be ruined after that. And then Max says, nah, keep the door closed and keep the cold air in. We're going to deal with that later. And then Zoe comes to her, tells her that she's trying to run some prints and she doesn't know how to do it because Aphis is off. So she tells Zoe, you've got a magnifying glass and you got a 10 card. Get a comparison. She tells a cop to go to the money cage. They better be safe than sorry. Bo and Penny, they are freaking out. Because they don't know what was the source of the power outrage.
Everybody's freaking out. Except Max.
And Max is like, everybody just breathe. We got this, okay? I'm pretty sure everybody at this point is probably getting flashbacks to the Hodges situation.
Maybe not the Hodges situation, but they didn't lose power during that situation. But remember, most of these people are millennials, Gen Zers, haven't had to work with a power outage.
Yeah, they probably got so used to work with technology, they don't really know how to process evidence without it. So anyways, Ellie and Catherine, they meet Max on her office, and Max is just, she just tells them that the robot's eyes turned on right when the power outrage began. And I was like, you really don't think that they are connected, right? And Catherine's like, come on out. A power outrage connected to this. But if you look out the window, everything is turned on. Like, all the lights are on. So it appears to be only on their building. And then when the power comes back on, and she just turns to them and be like, Sherlock Holmes said, if you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, But the line is, whatever remains, however unlikely, must be possible, must be the truth. So yeah, we've got another Sherlock reference. That's what I said, you know, in the beginning of this episode. It has Jason Tracy written all over it. You know, it's a kind of like a Sherlock Holmes homage. But yeah, the motherboard that they had is completely fried, and they don't know what happened. And Serena decides to come back to the factory with Catherine, and she asks Penny to go with her. And Penny's like, "No, I have to stay here because Max told me to assess everything." And Serena realizes that yeah, there's something wrong. And I love the fact that Jack dropped everything he was doing in the morgue, including dead bodies, to check on Penny when the power outrage began. How do I find myself a Jack?
He go out into the ward and stop thinking all men are the same.
Well, I'm kind of depressed now, but I'm actually dealing with depression right now. But like, how do I find myself a Jack? I'm looking for a British, not Jack the Ripper, but damn it.
Well, Jack the Ripper's kind of long dead anyway.
Well, but he was also a killer, and he killed women.
I know, but he's dead.
That we know. I mean, what if he's a vampire? Not that I believe vampires exist, but like, what if he's a vampire?
Well, then the killings would still be going on.
Well, then he'd be really careful not to leave too much evidence behind, because he left a lot of evidence behind back then.
But he also still couldn't be found. He did not leave enough.
Oh, he did not leave enough, but he left enough for the police to go after him. They had a pretty good pool of suspects, to be honest, including Prince, if you know. But anyways, Jack left everything to go check on Penny, and he validated her feelings towards the whole Serena situation, and she said, like, we were friends. It's not the fact that she was reporting on IAB, it's the fact that I thought we were friends, but everything was based on a lie and everything. So basically, what Penny is saying is what the part that Penny is playing here is, like, what we were saying all along. Even though Serena was doing the job, and we understand that, and even Penny understands that she was doing the job, she kind of thinks that their relationship was based on a lie. Probably not the way, it's not the way that Josh sees it, because when he got this revelation, a lot of things were going on at the same time. You know, he was going through the review board, his mother had just died, and he had just gone out of prison. So, I mean, there was a lot to consider at that point. But I think, like, what Penny's doing here right now, she's probably representing the viewer that thinks, like, okay, so Serena's relationship with everyone in the lab is based on a lie. Max understood, Catherine understood.
Allie understood too.
Yeah, but Penny wanted her feelings to be validated, and Jack did that for her. And Penny was like, am I crazy? And Jack is like, yes, but you're my kind of crazy, you know? So it appears that they have a healthy relationship, which is really good, and they hug, which is really good. Cliff is still in the lab, but he decides to leave. He says that the same thing happened in the night of the murder, and someone looked into it, but they couldn't figure out what happened. Allie asks him, like, who looked into it, and he says, I think it was Eve, but in the beginning of the episode, he says that it was him. So Allie and Max looked at each other like, yes, he was lying. So they realized that the robot could have taught himself how to hit harder. You know, Max, Josh, and Allie, they've realized that the robot could have taught himself how to hit the victim harder. But they couldn't prove that. Now they have to prove it with everything that they have, that they collected from the scene, that it could have not have been anything else. So it had to be the robot, you know? So they're gonna do just that. They're gonna prove with everything that they found in the scene, they're gonna hit the doll and be like, you know, it'd be so funny if they had to go to the court of law with that. Here's our finding. So it was not any of these things, any of these 200 things that we found in the scene. So it could have only been the robot. I wonder how the judge would react to that. It was not this glass container, because when we tested it gave us like 40% of the enough force to hit the victim, and we tested this out and we tested that. It is literally a joke, you know. And I mean, it's not a joke. I understand why they said it. I understand where it's coming from. But anyways, Serena and Catherine, they go back to the factory, and they are trying to talk to Mr. Thomas about it, and about the fact that the robot, that he is not cooperating with the police anymore. And Catherine says, you know what? I think your workers came to the same conclusion that we did, that it's physically impossible for the robot to struck the killing blow, which means that we could have not, the cause of death could have not been a wrongful death lawsuit for the AI thing. And but he does says that that there was a problem in Robert's team that set them months behind. We see that the partnership between Catherine and Beau is kind of, I mean, it's not okay, it's kind of working or not, because Bo gives her coffee and says that, yeah, I am a friend and I will forever be grateful for the fact that we have a scene of Matt Lauer hitting a doll with a bat. Whoever had that scene in mind, thank you so much. We still don't have a match to the glass shards, and we'll only have it. I mean, we will not, but we can assume that it is in the end of everything. They have the right idea with the bat, because it has to be something like a bat, but not a bat, not a baseball bat. So they think it could have been the robot's arm, because it could have accounted for the weird blood pattern that they found that they cannot explain, and it also could have accounted for the blows to the victim's neck and chest, and also the head. So they called Robert's son to the lab, and Max says, oh, you remember when you said that your father brought work home with him? Yeah, we need those tools. And when they have the robot arm out, Ellie finds a piece of glass embedded on the robot. I mean, I don't know how they didn't find that before, but that piece of glass is actually from lenses, from eye lenses, right? And they realize that the murder weapon is actually the robot's arm. It was never the robot, it was his arm. And the killer turns out to be Cliff, because the DNA comes back, the DNA from the lenses comes back to Cliff. Also, Serena defends herself when she goes after Penny, because she's trying to see, like, what is wrong with them. And Penny says, you were reporting us to IAB. And Serena says, I was doing a job and all of it. And Penny says, I thought we were friends. And Serena says, we can still be friends, but it's all up to you. When Penny's about to say something else, we get a hit on Cliff. And then Cliff calls Max to kind of defend his actions or something like that. But he gives half of a confession, because his car hits a tree. And when they go to find his car, not only did the airbag did not deploy, and the car was brand new. And throughout the episode, we've had like two or three times that, oh, it's not like we can't control this car via remote. So I guess it's safe to say that somebody else controlled the car. Also, Cliff is dead. Cliff is dead. We find this vintage camera inside the car with the camera broken. And we kind of realize that the glass that is broken on the camera is actually, could be from the glass that they cannot account for that was found on the scene. At the end of the episode, Josh goes to check on Max to see how she's doing. You know, now we can see that their relationship is kind of improving. Not much, but it is. And she's kind of okay, even though, like, the case is not wrapped up, you know, with a bow on it. I mean, it's kind of still a mystery, even though, like, we got the killer of the victim, but we got a new victim, because is it vehicle manslaughter? I mean, I think somebody else controlled the car, because how did the airbag did not deploy on impact? It should have deployed on impact.
Some people have the airbags turned off.
Yeah, I know, but it's kind of implied that, I guess, that was my interpretation, that somebody else controlled the car, so the airbag would not be deployed. And then Josh offers to take the robot back to the factory, and Max is like, no, we're not done yet. Then she looks at the robot like, you're going to stay here. Oh, I wonder if the robot is going to stay there. Next week,
there's no new episode.
There's no new episode.
Until the 21st.
Until the 21st, yes, which means that we're going to come back to our CSI New York episodes. Okay, but we're going to come back to the CSI Vegas ones, okay? The reason why we're doing the CSI New York episode is because we don't want to run out too quickly of the crime scene investigation episodes. But if you have any suggestions for us, you can email us or add us on our, or DM us on our social media, and we'll take it into consideration. We love you. Bye. Stay safe.